I like the inherent honesty of a blowout loss where at no point are you invested.
You know what? That's a great way to look at it. They didn't take away my hope. They gave me back my Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in these turbulent times that we live in, what could be a greater gift than that? To have some personal time on a weekend to just do your own thing. So thank you, Ottawa Senators.
You've got episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine on your DVR.
Yeah.
And you know what? You should get a head start on that.
You know you're going to have to tape a bunch of stuff on Sunday night as well. You don't want to get any further behind the eight ball. Why don't you start some shows late Sunday afternoon? Just start working through that backlog.
Twin Peaks is back, and there's no reason why you can't binge season one right now.
You're almost through Riverdale. If one last push, don't worry about watching the game, and then you can start Twin Peaks. That's the Senators looking out for the community.
United in red. Remember Todd White. Where did Eric Carlson eat last night? It doesn't matter if you ask. It's the Chet and Luke Podcast.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode Lessard of the Chet Sellers and Luke Peristi Podcast. I'm Luke, and I'm joined, as always, by the man who is not yet willing to discuss end-of-life care for your hockey season. It's Chet Sellers.
How you doing, man? Pleasure to be here.
I'm doing
great. Love the show.
I'm glad to hear that. Is there anything else you love these days, such as the sport of hockey and the associated playoffs?
I'll tell you this for free. I've never felt better in my life. I've never felt more confident in the Senators after a 7-0 game 5 loss. I have full confidence that they're going to come back to town on Tuesday, win game 6, and then go into Pittsburgh for game 7 and cream the Penguins. So I don't even know why we're doing this podcast, because that is a statistical certainty.
Chet Sellers not burying the lead here, folks. We are recording less than 24 hours after game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final. And we're here to tell you, we're going to see you next week for a Stanley Cup Final preview.
That's right. I will see you next week. You're not getting out of this podcast, listeners.
I love that it's more of a threat. It's like, you will have to listen to
us. Yeah, this is homework for you. You know, it's obviously not great to lose a game 7-0 and go down and face elimination in a series. I haven't seen anyone that has taken the opposite side of that one. But at the same time, like, you know, you can only freak out so much whether you lose 1-0 or 7-0, right? I mean, I think it was the Oilers that lost 7-0 to the Sharks in round one and went on to close that series out by winning the next two games. So, you know, it happens.
Didn't the Oilers also beat the Ducks 7-0 and then lost in game 7 to the Ducks?
That one I'm not sure about. The example I'd like to use in this case is the Sharks beating the Oilers 7-0 and the Oilers going on to win the series. That's happened once. It will happen again.
We ostensibly watch a lot of hockey and we're like, the Western Conference, what is it? Who are the teams? Do they play hockey the same way?
My point is, this is the first time in these playoffs that the Senators have faced elimination, and that's the edge that I want to live on. That's where I feel truly alive, is once we're facing elimination. And everyone else who's, you know, all of a sudden freaking out because the Senators have never faced elimination at any point during the playoffs to date, you folks need to check your privilege. I'll tell you that right now.
I know. The Senators just lead a bunch of series, win 2 series in 6, and then, like, the moment things go wrong, it's just the sky is falling and people are freaking out. And I gotta say, your Sens fans, act like you've been here before, because you have.
Exactly. I mean, the last time that the Senators were, you know, down in a series was after game 1 against Boston. And they came back and they won 3 in a row in that series. They had 2 bad losses in a row to the Rangers, and they came back and they won the next 2 games to close that series out. They've now had 2-1 very bad loss and 1-1 goal loss to the Penguins in games 4 and 5. And I don't think anyone is suggesting they can't come back and do exactly the same thing in game 6 and game 7. There are some asterisks to that. They need basically everyone in the lineup to play better than they did in Game 5, starting with Mike Hoffman, Mark Stone, Kyle Turris, and Craig Anderson. And they need to take advantage of whatever injuries Pittsburgh still has on its blue line, because those guys are starting to get healthy again. And they need Erik Karlsson to be Erik Karlsson. But if all of those contingencies happen, and I'm here to tell you that they will, I think Tuesday night will not be the last time we see the Senators in this postseason.
Your avenues for analysis and coaching are kind of limited in the wake of a 7-0 loss, because that's not the sort of thing that you can just like make one minor adjustment and that's going to change the fortunes. You kind of just have to go into the room and be like, all right, so let's do that again and then just not play like butt this time.
Yeah, everyone be better.
Did anyone feel unprepared for that? Do we need to change any coaching approach here? No? Okay, let's do it again, but better.
But a loss is a loss, right? Like, I mean, again, if they lost 1-0, we'd be in exactly the same position, and we'd be just saying, oh, it was so close, we could have had that one, but I feel good, we'll go back and we'll get them. Like, these guys are goldfish for a reason. They're supposed to forget about a result pretty much as soon as it happens. Craig Anderson is always better coming off, you know, a horrible game. And at a certain point, you know, I'm optimistic that the Senators are going to score on the power play. What are they now, like 0 for 29?
Okay, so I will believe that the Senators can win the last two games of the series, but scoring on the power play seems like a bridge too far, my friend. That's a bit much. Like, this is rainbows and unicorns land. Let's ground this podcast in reality.
Right, but I think if they blow one more power play, they'll have gone 0 for 30, which just to me seems statistically impossible. That's like Luke Peristi on Tinder numbers, 0 for 30. Like, we can do...
0 for 30, the worst ESPN documentary series.
We did this last podcast last week when they were up 1-0, and we're feeling very optimistic. And I think I said at one point that even though we're being optimistic, there's a chance we'll be back taping this weekend saying what were the keys to those 4 straight Penguins wins to get them to a 4-1 series victory. We're not quite there yet. We are down 3-2. But of the 4 games they've played since we last did this podcast, the Senators had 2 1-goal losses to the Pens, blew them out once, and got blown out once. So it is still, you know, fairly close.
Yeah, it's weird that there have been 2 1-goal games and 2 blowouts. The Senators have only won one of those games, and it's not the one you'd expect. Let's be honest, like, we can go back to the good times here. That 5-1 win at home was pretty fun. Those were good times.
It was. Others have said this, so I won't dwell on it too much. But after that 4th goal in the first period, literally, like, in however many years I've been going to Sens games at the Canadian Tire Center, I have never, ever heard it louder than that. Like, it was, like, jet engine, like, painfully loud. You know, I mean, the place can get loud, but the CTC also, if you go to a game in November or December, can sound kind of like a tennis tournament in Dubai, right? Right? Like, people will cheer when they're supposed to cheer, but the rest of the time you can hear everything that's happening down there during play. So to hear basically a constant level of noise, and after that 4th goal to get so loud that I was literally in pain with just the roar that was going on in there, it was a lot of fun.
The Sens crowd was so happy it hurt, literally.
And let's get back to where we were after that game, where, you know, the Sens were up 2-1 in the series. They'd just blown out the Penguins. The Penguins had a bunch of guys that were hurt. And the narrative, like, around Sens fans and in the media was, is there any chance that Pittsburgh can come back at this point, right? Or are the Penguins just too hurt, too tired? You know, the Senators are the team of destiny this year, and they're going to close this thing out. Let's get back to where we were then, after Game 3, where nobody thought the Penguins had a chance in this series. We're not that far away from that. It's just a couple days later.
Let's give Pittsburgh some credit, unlike some of Ottawa's previous playoff opponents. Pittsburgh hasn't really been one for blowing leads, which is kind of a huge difference, I'd say. Especially in Game 4, when Ottawa nearly made a furious comeback after being down 3-0 and then fell just short. That was a game that you watched and went, we would have won that if it was against the Rangers.
No, it's true. Outside of Game 3, where they could not complete a pass and looked completely discombobulated and kept turning the puck over, Pittsburgh has looked fairly confident. And if they score first, they usually win. So I'm optimistic that the Senators will come out backs to the wall in Game 6, score early, score often, and take it back to Pittsburgh for Game 7. I mean, what are they going to do to shake things up for Game 6? Are you optimistic that we're going to have Mark Borowiecki back?
I mean, I don't mind Mark Borowiecki as much as some people. I think I'd rather see Freddie Claesson and Chris Weidman on the bottom pairing. But at the same time, Boro's kind of hit this prime Chris Neal point where you go, all right, so he's not incredible, but at least for all the intangible grit elements that, you know, people think he brings, at least he can kind of take a regular shift along with that. That said, I'm really not looking forward to Mark Borowiecki versus, like, Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel, so maybe we should just, maybe that'll be a wrap.
Well, we had said during the year, you know, Mark Borowiecki plus the system equals not that bad. But, I mean, the system itself hasn't looked all that great against Pittsburgh for the last couple of games. Certainly, he's no worse of a choice than Harper. And even Weidman hasn't looked that good. So if they want to mix Borowiecki up and put him in there and, you know, have him hit some stuff, I don't think it's necessarily going to be any worse than what we've seen. I don't think the makeup of the sixth or seventh defenseman is going to be what wins or loses the game. I think it's going to be the rest of the team plus Craig Anderson actually doing something in game six.
Can we talk about Guy Boucher pump faking everyone with like the fake goalie pull he tried to make in the first period?
Let me say, for Craig Anderson's birthday, getting pulled, getting put back in, and getting pulled again, I mean, who doesn't like to be the center of attention on their birthday?
Yeah, what was that? Because I was getting ready, I was like all in on Mike Condon. I was like, yo, you know who's no fluke? This guy.
And then Mike Condon gave up, what, 75% of the goals? It just took him longer to do that? Like, I don't think either goalie was particularly good yesterday.
It's just a blowout loss. Like, when it's not your day, it's not your day. Bobby Ryan skating away from the puck in the defensive zone and then it directly leading to a goal against. That was just the moment of the whole game right there where you're like, this is...
Yeah.
And nothing is going to go right today for us, I can tell.
If you look up the worst days to have your birthday, typically you'll see like December 25th because, you know, everybody ignores your birthday because it's Christmas, or February 29th because, you know, it's a weird day and you have to move it around every 4 years where you celebrate your birthday, or certainly any holidays that are remembrances of awful things like September 11th are bad days to have your birthday. And I would add to that, anytime you have to start a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Penguins is not the best day to have your birthday.
Yeah, Craig Anderson, what are you doing having your birthday in late May?
what were your parents doing in September, Craig Anderson? Not planning ahead, that's what.
Seemed like it was such a good omen. Everything was going right that day. I went to brunch and Steely Dan was playing. It was Craig Anderson's birthday.
Oh, I said to you, Craig Anderson's going to have a great birthday. But, you know, if Craig Anderson, when things are going right for him, tends to not be great. Craig Anderson, when things are going wrong or he's coming off a really bad loss, that seems to be when Craig Anderson really digs in and pulls out a good performance. So yet another reason why, in spite of all available evidence, the Senators are going to crush Game 6.
Well, we know they're capable of it. At least this series has like reminded us why playoff hockey is annoying and such a delicate flower. Like, success is very fleeting and you don't get many bad games to work it out. You have to be good very consistently, because not showing up for just a single game can like really put you behind the eight ball going forward.
And this is the first time they've faced elimination, but you know, we'll see what they can do with that. They just have to win two in a row, which they have done before after a series of bad losses, so they are definitely capable. Like, I mean, after four games against the Rangers, we were sort of like, well, this looks like this could be it, right? Because they've lost two in a row by, I think, three goals each. They're putting Chris Neal in the lineup, so they have lost their minds. And they came back and they won two in a row. So they can do it. And I do still feel like this is the window, you know, like this is, they have to figure out a way to beat Pittsburgh twice now, but this is the year. Like, who's waiting for you in the Cup Finals? It's probably a Nashville team missing their number one center. Like, this is the time to do it.
A thing I like to do, and I think this is very important just to like get a handle on your innate negativity as a Sens fan, try reversing the situations that happen. If this was a 3-2 Sens lead right now, we'd be sitting here like, this is good, but they can still blow this. And the reason why we'd be saying that is because we've watched the Ottawa Senators blow multiple 3-2 series leads. It's a thing that happens in the playoffs.
Right.
And I think it might be our turn to turn it around. This is going to be the time when everyone's counting out Ottawa and they're going to surprise everyone. And this is it. They have never won a Game 7 in team history. And if not now, then when? Like, as you point out, Craig Anderson's at his worst. Things cannot be worse in the next game. We've hit rock bottom and we're still here. the only place to go is up.
We have said previously on this podcast that momentum is not really a thing. Certainly that was true after the Senators blew out the Penguins and then, you know, really didn't play that well in Game 4 and certainly not in Game 5. So who's to say they can't just completely forget about this one, come back, win at home, and then see where things go from there?
It is interesting to stare death in the face like this because I realize now that I'm not afraid to lose. I just don't want hockey to go away. Like, I just don't want it to be over.
Well, I mean, if you keep the Senators in your heart, then it never really goes away.
Come what may, this is going to be the most successful Senators team in a decade. And everyone realizes that this is the sort of thing that does not come around very often.
Although, you know, silver lining, win or lose, we have given Uncle Eugene 9 games of home playoff revenue. So that warms my heart.
Yeah, I mean, in the dark times, I can look back and say that extra home revenue paid for an extra half year of Erik Karlsson's next contract.
If and when these playoffs end and the injuries come out, I'm sure that a number of guys, you know, including potentially Stone, Hoffman and Turris, are going to admit they've been playing fairly hurt. Erik Karlsson, I'm still waiting for the... Yeah, not only did I have 2 hairline fractures, but I tore both MCLs and I'm missing like a rib and a half. But I've still been going out there every game. Like, Karlsson is probably even more hurt than we realize.
Yeah, Erik Karlsson's just been playing like on Colin White's shoulders wrapped in a trench coat. It's not even his own lower body at this point.
Oh, my God. So we'll see, but I don't want to find out how hurt Erik Karlsson is. I mean, he has not been a huge difference maker in the last couple of games, so I think if that's another thing that's going to change on Tuesday.
Last podcast, I believe you said that this is your favorite Ottawa Senators team because it's the team that's least like the Ottawa Senators. What could be less like the Ottawa Senators than coming back from 3-2 down to win in 7 games?
Against Pittsburgh, no less, the team that they never beat in the playoffs. You're right. It would be the least Ottawa Senators thing ever. And given that that has been the trend they have demonstrated throughout these playoffs so far, I continue to believe that they will do the counterintuitive thing and rebound from a 7-0 shellacking to play well in Game 6 and force this series to go 7 games, which they will win for the very first time ever. I mean,
this is it.
All the signs point to that. I don't see how you could look at the series of facts we have in front of us and suggest otherwise. Like, for them to lose Game 6, like, that's the obvious move. They're not going to do that.
It's embarrassingly obvious, actually.
This is a team that has confounded expectations all season. So you thinking they're going to lose Game 6 is just you falling for it again. Like, don't be that basic.
Be smart, Ottawa fans. All right, folks, that wasn't so bad. Turns out we're surprisingly hopeful in these dark times. But again, nowhere to go but up. And we're going to see you next week. We're going to talk about how Ottawa matches up against the Western Conference.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's a date. I'm going to put that in my calendar right now. Saturday morning, we're back. I'm going to put Stanley Cup preview Saturday morning, 3-hour show. Let's do this thing.
I can hear you tapping it out into your Palm Pilot right now.
Good system. System be with you, and we'll see you next week. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Christy and Sellers for a couple of fellers who both still live with their moms. Town's local hockey team down, some microphones on. No other podcast was finer, or was more of a hit with the big rig diners. We never thought they'd make it past episode 5. Whoa, somehow these dudes named Shed and Paristi are live. Whoa.